This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
And here we go.
Illinois says they have.
Forget the rest of the highlights?
No.
Savage.
Hey, I'm looking on here. One of the sound bites today from Lovie Smith is a minute 18 seconds, and it says on positives from the game. How? How is that possible?
We're not exactly sure, but stick around because that was a great tease, Lon.
All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. Derek Piper straight across from me. And Trevor Valise, of course, you heard giving the weather. You also hear Jay Layman, who's going to join us every Monday during the Illini football season, brought to you by Molitor Financial, Freedom Roofing, and Dick Van Dyke. And
let me just go off on these guys, because I love to go off on these guys. Molitor Financial, visit them at champagnelender.com. That's champagnelender.com. Interest rates talked about last week, still low.
Yes.
Go buy and refinance right now. Help me out, too. Help Lon out, man. Get some insurance for yourself.
Buy the house from Jay. Get your insurance from me.
And get your appliances from Dick Van Dyke. And when you're buying a house, check your roof out by Freedom Roofing if it has hail damage or if you need a new roof. Because guess what? On a day like this, it might not be bad in the summer. It's bad to have a bad roof today.
Oh,
right.
Oh, you'll find out quick that you got a major problem.
So, Freedom Roofing, Milder Financial, Dick Van Dyke, they make it possible. I want to say thank you to our sponsor.
Awesome. That is great. Well, Jay Layman, you are here, and Derek and I, I'm sure, have plenty of questions. And I'm going to start with this. What exactly happened Friday night?
A disaster. An absolute disaster. You know, I've had a lot of disappointing losses in my career as a fan, as a player, as an alum. I think this is right up there. Year two, we're playing Rutgers, the second game of the season, 2006, and we're better.
Yeah.
We just beat somebody. I can't remember who we beat. I don't know. We beat somebody. We're 1-0. Let's go on the road to beat Rutgers. And we just laid a goose egg.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was like 35-0. I think. It might have been worse than that.
It sounds right.
It was something like that, okay? Mm. And it's this game... Though, the difference is that was year two runs. Like, this is year five.
Right.
We had a really young team. They've got a really veteran team. This isn't a top three disappointing losses for me. That's saying something. I've had some disappointing losses for
Derek,
disappointing.
Jay and I were talking about that when he came in today. I cannot tell you how disappointed I am at that loss, Pipes, because the expectations, and I know you're not like expected to go to the Rose Bowl, but certainly in year five of Lovie, you've got so many veteran guys back. And the expectation for me, maybe not to win or beat Wisconsin, even though I did say Wisconsin 28-27, I thought it'd be a game.
I thought it'd be competitive for sure.
But to come out like that, I mean, that just soured the entire season for me, Dirk. And I know they can jump back and go 7-1, and I'll be the happiest guy in America. I'll be doing dances like Pete Carroll last night. But I don't see that. And that's just, you're not even competitive, Dirk.
It was completely deflating. We sat here for 2 weeks and tried to explain why it was a 23.5 point spread and figure out of the odds makers in Vegas sipping rum and Cokes on their lunch break. He's like, let's throw a 23.5 on the board.
Vegas always knows. What is up with that? They always know, right?
They do. Yeah, but they Brandon Peters comes back. You have a returning quarterback. We talk about the weapons. Luke Ford, who plays 25% of the plays, they don't score an offensive touchdown. So it didn't look like a well-coached football team. You look around the league, and it was even more frustrating on Saturday. Well, Rutgers is competent. What?
Yep.
I don't know what to say, man.
Indiana beat Penn State.
Yes.
Guys, Indiana's in the Big Ten East. I don't think anybody who watches college football would say that's an easier division than the Big Ten West.
Absolutely.
What about Purdue?
Yes.
Purdue doesn't even, they don't even have a go-to quarterback right now. Their best player's out. Their head coach, who, by the way, is also the play caller for the offense, out. And they beat an Iowa team. Now, Iowa, maybe not world, but they're always a solid program.
Absolutely.
That is a solid win. So, I'm looking at these other programs. Let's just do comparable programs, right? I hate to do this, but Indiana, comparable program.
Absolutely.
Right?
Tom Allen, comparable timeline.
Right. Rutgers. We won't even say that's a comparable program right now.
Uh-uh.
Okay? It's not. They played better. What about Purdue? I mean, Northwestern.
Yes.
Guys, I mean, we look at this.
Yep.
And it's really discouraging. And honestly, it was just so disheartening to watch all these other teams be competitive on Saturday.
Right.
And then us not even be close. And, you know, you have to have a quarterback to win in this league. It wasn't even serviceable.
No.
It's like we would. It was like, let me try to throw to Matter Bebe for 10 times and then try to dink it around somewhere else.
Yo, it's
Nebraska
true.
Nebraska even did some good things. Your boy Scott Frost even hang for a half in
he
Columbus.
He did. He totally did. Maryland was really the only other team that kind of laid an
Michigan
egg.
State. And they're in year two.
Yeah,
in
Michigan State.
And
yeah,
Michigan
right,
State.
Right.
New coach. It was so disappointing. I can't even put it into words. Guys.
Yeah, I know.
I usually got tons of words. And I was speechless.
We figured out how to and quiet Jay.
And I had to smile on the post-game show. I'm sitting there grinning ear to ear. I said before the pregame, I was like, yeah, everybody's singing on Wisconsin. It should be gone, Wisconsin. Because all these guys are gone. Gone,
exactly.
gone. So Illinois is going to pounce. Wow. Boy, you think your Twitter feed was bad.
Oh.
Just wait till the DMs come on me on Friday. You hate Wisconsin. You are such an Illinois homer. And wow, what could I say? But no, I know I'm wrong.
What do you do, right? You looked good, by the way.
Thanks, man.
You always look good.
I saved the pinstripes for like night shows. 11 o'clock game, you don't bust that pinstripe.
No.
It's just the gray or navy suit. You know this from me.
Yes, exactly.
Right. I mean, 11 a.m. is kind of like, okay, like, listen, I could almost put a polo on.
Exactly.
I actually think announcers should go to the polo. I think we're way overdressed.
I've never understood that. I've never understood needing to wear a suit. I don't need to see you in a suit doing color of a football.
100%.
I mean, be comfortable. Wear shorts. I don't care.
We've seen it in ESPN now. We've seen guys wear some hoodies and stuff.
I agree.
And honestly, I think it's way better.
Yep.
It feels weird for me to suit up for a football game, not in pads, but like in a real suit from whatever, Joseph A. Bank or whatever. Buy three, get four free or whatever it is for $99. They're not even a sponsor, but you know what I mean.
This is how bad Illinois football was. We're 8 minutes into the show and we're talking about suits and what to wear.
Boy, that's pretty bad, right? But we got a minute 18 of highlights coming up soon.
Positivity.
Okay.
All right, here's what I want to throw at you, Jay.
Okay.
Coming into this year, there were a couple of thoughts of me that thought, all right, this offensive line is going to do some damage. And pass blocking wise, they were okay. They graded out fine.
Right.
The other thing I thought was on the defensive side of the ball, your secondary is going to be really solid. Those two things, I walked away. Illinois, if you take away Brandon Peters' rushes, I don't know how many yards they actually carried for. And, I mean, I don't know. I hate always. Number two, how about that? I won't even say names. But, no, I will. If Derek Smith, he wasn't within 10 yards of two touchdowns right down the middle.
Right. No,
he and Sidney. I'm just.
Right down the middle. And some of that, I will say, like on that one on Ferguson that was like in the red zone.
Yes.
I personally think they were in cover two, and Tariq Barnes filling in for Hanson did not run the gauntlet. He was stuck up in the line.
Got it.
Okay, now Tariq Barnes made some good plays.
Yes, he did. He had a really good
plays. Yeah. He made some really good plays. I think he got a little bit nosy on stopping the run, and they ran right behind him. Other times, shoot, the post route. I mean, the backyard post route. This is not some elaborate route. I mean, I've been running this route since I was six in the park, right? Hey, run a post, right? It's like you run straight at the field, and then you run right to the middle of the goalpost.
And look back.
That right there is like basic passing tree 101. And they ran it for about 150 yards worth of pass routes.
Oh.
They were having, you know, it's bad when a fullback catches a touchdown pass over your best defensive back.
That is correct.
That's bad.
That is correct.
That's bad ball, right?
I mean, I'm ripping on Derek Smith. Nate Hobbs, you saw number eight a lot, making a tackle of a catch that had already been completed.
I just, how do we have guys running all over the field, especially on that offense?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so I would say the offensive line, back to your point, did not move people off the ball like I thought they would.
Not at all.
Okay, they did not get a good push. And this is none of a bunch of D-lines that are back. I think Isaiah Loudermilk is a good player for Wisconsin. I don't know if he's an All-American. We made him look like an All-American.
We did.
What was shocking to me is the talk about positives for Illinois. The defensive line played better than I thought they would.
I totally agree.
And the back seven didn't play as good as I thought they would. I was like, wait a second, what is going on? I mean, I was completely confused the whole night. That just added to the, it was like.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't even hardly drink, Derek, Friday night, and I woke up Saturday saying, why is everything so confusing to me? Like, it seems like the defensive line was actually decent, and it seems like our secondary was horrible, and it seems like the offensive line didn't open up any holes to run through. And I'm like, wait, did I watch that game? I better watch it again.
I don't know. I drank a decent amount, and I processed all that fine.
I contemplated in studio doing all of that stuff, right? But then I had a post-game show. But what I would say is this. On a really negative note, it was so bad to see Hansen go down.
It was.
I mean, I think he was out the last four games, right? Pipes of the 2019 season.
That's right. Four or five.
And then, you know, he comes back and, you know, obviously, I don't know if Lovey mentioned what's going on. It looked to me, and I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to speak, some kind of head injury because he wobbled a little bit.
Absolutely.
Right? So does that put him in protocols or whatnot? I don't know that. Nothing's there. We don't know. But if you get in, so let's say a player is in protocol. We've seen guys be out for the whole year.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've seen guys be out for a game to a whole year. And so now I'm like, man, that is our best defender. That's huge. So that was a huge blow. But, like, Brandon Peters is a fifth-year senior.
I gotta have more.
And he needs more help in the run game too. But
yep.
Long, we talked on Friday that when we did position by position, the battle had to be clear and decisive that Brandon Peters would win the QB battle.
You
said someone
that.
Who has not seen a Big Ten defense. So let's talk a little bit about early Heisman candidate Graham Mertz,
okay.
Who was setting records
not pumping the
on
break.
Friday night, 20 of 21, 5 touchdown passes, now 3 to his tight end and twice at least. Ferguson was just wide open all by himself.
Can I piggyback real quick and then you finish your question? If you go back to last year's bowl game,
I wanted to bring that up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's like 40, the last two quarterbacks are like, what, 42 of 52, 9 touchdowns and over 500 yards.
You're not facing an NFL prospect every time.
No.
All of a sudden, you sit there and chase garbage. You had never heard of him all year long. Maybe his season high is 2 TDs for Cal. Oh, this guy, that guy. Watch out for him.
Dude,
no.
What lit us up?
Yeah.
Like Christmas trees after Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is this. We took the social distancing thing way too far on the coverage and on getting pressure on Mertz.
Amen.
I mean, literally. He had 6 feet in the bucket to go all around.
Oh, crazy.
I mean, Mertz lit us up. I mean, for being the first start of his career.
Oh.
And we got a fifth year. It just is so maddening.
What do you do going forward? Because now you're going to see Purdue,
right.
Who loves to throw the football. They don't want anything to do with a run game. They're going to supposed to bring back Rondale Moore. David Bell's fantastic. After that's Tanner Morgan. You know that his stats last year. How do you make those guys uncomfortable?
Well, here's the first thing I got to say about that, okay? Who in the world is going to throw the football for us if Brandon Peters doesn't do it? Because Isaiah Williams didn't throw much.
Mm-mm.
He got in some. I know Peters was a little surprised by that.
Right.
Who? Matt Robinson? Is that the guy who's next? I don't even know. But how do we stop Purdue? Lord help us. I don't have a clue.
No.
Right? Because you look at the passing attacks of Purdue and Minnesota. Most people would say that passing attack is more evolved and advanced than a Wisconsin passing attack. Probably not the running attack, right?
I agree.
Rahm's known for throwing the football. I mean, they got Bateman and Tanner Morgan up in Minnesota. Guys, it could be, I mean, I don't want to pull a Joe Biden, but it could be a dark winter. I didn't mean to get political, but like, when I think Illinois football, I was thinking.
Now, technically, you have to say Donald Trump now, just so we give even coverage.
Yeah. And then, I don't want to be a Donald Trump either and say, hey, it's all going to be all right, because it's obviously not going to be all right. Okay,
no.
So I threw both of them under the bus, but here's what I will say is this. Have anybody seen the meme out there, like the Game of Thrones be like, winter is coming with Joe? And that is hilarious. Whatever political side you're on, okay?
Yeah, that's funny.
Guys, it's just funny. Let's have a laugh. So, I like I said, Trump would say, watch out for him, it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Biden would watch and say, it's going to be a dark winter.
Yeah,
but that's what it is. But I'm scared.
Yes.
Guys.
Yes.
And we're actually playing football in the winter this year. It's not just the fall. So it's like,
yeah.
Oh, gosh. Like, this season's going to go to December 19th. So,
well, I mean, Jay, if you could look ahead right now to the end of the season and you told me that Wisconsin played in the national title game or at least in the football playoff and Graham Mertz won MVP of the Big Ten because of his showings, then I would sit here on today and say, okay, you know, you ran into a juggernaut and we didn't even know it yet.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No. I would feel better if all those things happened.
Right.
That's really laying it out. Now, I will say there are times in a season, in a game, where you just lay an egg.
Yes.
We've seen it all over. I think the most shocking thing is year five and the experience and the first game.
Amen.
And everybody's went through the same thing, so we can't blame it on COVID. And that's the most disappointing thing. Now, as from a player perspective, shoot, I actually feel really bad for the guys. They're disappointed. They've been working hard. And now they've got to kind of find a way to say, okay, next game and put them flush that. Boy, it's so much easier said than done. So we always want to be encouraging to the players. I want to be encouraging. It was just so shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because I believe those guys have worked hard. I believe we have good players.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it was the scheme, the dream, or just nothing. I mean, I just can't get it. Pipes, help me.
Jay, you said it last week. You just mentioned scheme there, okay?
Help me.
You said you were going to call out anybody whose play calling lacked aggression or creativity. And a lot of people are blowing Rod Smith up after Friday. And, again, not using Luke Ford. When you don't have good quarterback play, you're going to make the guy calling the plays look bad. But I don't think that I want your take on this. What Illinois was able to do scheme-wise last year, it was – they probably weren't as good as they should have been. They were 13th in time of possession, had trouble moving the sticks.
Good call.
What did you see?
I wasn't pleased. I wasn't pleased. Here's the thing. When I think about play calling, now a lot of here's what Rod Smith does a lot of times. Once he gets his first down, he gets going. The problem is if you don't get your first down, you never get going.
You're in trouble.
But here's the reality. I want to see a little change in direction. Like throw a reverse in there.
You're right.
Throw a trick play in there. Give me a halfback pass.
Yep.
Not have to be all tricks and show. But hey, how about you do like a little like screen, like the first play to Matter Bebe. Great. Let's do that.
Do it again.
Let's do that 10 times.
How about a tight end screen to Luke Ford? Let's see his athleticism.
Why is Luke Ford not? He's got to be one of our best 11. I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get our best 11 on the field. Like I don't care if we're gonna get him and Daniel Barker out there. Like I just didn't see much innovativeness on either side, offense or defense. And quite honestly, it never looked to me like they had seen a tight end release.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like hit the tight end, like guard the tight end. Like, you know, that's where they're going. And so it's really, really disappointing. I can't say that enough. The bright side is there's 8 more games.
Right.
The bad side is we lost that game bad.
Horribly.
And you could say, well, it's the same as losing it by 1 point, but because the loss is lost. But, man, it just feels like it just took a lot of confidence.
I'm
a lot of fans' confidence.
And I'm now exhausted at the people, and I had them directed at me a few, that were like, well, you know, it's the first game, or this or this, or this or that. I even got called carp one time, Derek. And I'm like, I said, okay, I get it. Maybe I'm going too negative here, but when am I supposed to be optimistic now about an Illinois team? I am as optimistic as anybody in the media has ever been about Illinois. You ask. I mean, I've got us, Jay, when you were playing, I probably had us going to the Rose Bowl every year, and you guys did it. You finally did it for me, right?
We backed him up one time, baby.
You backed me up. But I seriously am the guy that sits here. I mean, you know, we always joke about it. It's like, what do we call that when we dream, you know, we dream big?
Dare to dream.
Yeah, dare to dream. And I mean, I even could see a light at the end of the tunnel where Illinois goes 6-2 this year.
Right.
But then I watch that game, and I'm not supposed to be upset. I'm not supposed to be disappointed.
Right.
I know it's one game. That team looked horrible.
Well, I think if you're not disappointed, it shows you don't care.
Correct. Oh, and I always care.
And you care. And yeah. I say you've always been positive. And I see it from the perspective of I've been a player who's been on the first 4 years out. I was at Illinois redshirt year. And the next 3 years, we won 8 games. We're bad, right?
Yeah.
So I get it. Those guys are working hard,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure.
I think what frustrates people, like even in 2006 when we were bad, we were so close and competitive in games. We weren't really getting blown out. I've had Rutgers, we never really get blown out, right? People are like, man. So 2007 runs around. You remember, we sold out the stadium a couple times in 2007 before we even really started playing.
Absolutely.
Right? So, I mean, there was progress. I think people, we want to see progress.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. I think the most frustrating thing is when people feel like you're stagnant or going backwards.
Right.
Right? Because we've pointed to this year, the coaches have said, this is our best
team.
This is our best team. If that's your best team, boy, we're right. But I see from players, I do. My heart goes out to the players. I know they want to be better. They got to be better than that, or it's not going
to
be a good season.
No, not at all. Not at all.
To add to the disappointment, there was a lot of people paying attention to the post-game comments from Brandon Peters who questioned whether, you know, how much Isaiah was used, that it was made him uncomfortable going back in on that fourth down where he skips the slant. He also said something about offensive line didn't do enough to help him, kind of pointing the finger there. And then couldn't help but notice Luke Ford's dad mentioning transfer portal. That guy was a number three tight end prospect in his class. He comes here. We've hyped him up for however long. He hasn't played football in forever long. And his dad's already mentioning transfer portal after one game. How much does that add to just the disaster?
Help, right?
It doesn't help at all.
And here's the thing. Like, I don't think Brandon Peters should be calling all that stuff out. He's frustrated. I get it, right? But he wasn't necessarily killing it.
No, he wasn't good at all.
So wait a second. So wait, so now we get mad at Rod Smith for not being innovative. Maybe the Isaiah Williams thing was to get innovative.
Yeah, right.
Did it work or not? Not really. But listen, if he marched the ball down the field and got 7 points or a couple field goals, hey, maybe you're in there, Brandon.
Yep.
This is not Park District. This is a results-oriented business. You can lose your job over one play.
Thank you.
I've gotten fired over one play in a lot of teams, right? I went flying home after we played Cal my sophomore year at Cal. DeSean Jackson is the punt returner. Oh. We didn't know he was that good at that point. We just knew he was really fast.
Right.
Like, hey, they got this 5'10", 155 guy. He's really tiny. But he's really fast. Oh, okay. Read that in the scout report. Sounds good. I don't think I touched him or saw him. Before I got on the plane to head back, something. Looks like you're fired on the punt return, right? That's what it was. It's like, you're fired. I was like, if I could go back now in hindsight of 15 years and say, well, that was DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, right.
I think we could both agree we would laugh about it. But I got fired from every specialties from just DeSean Jackson. Thanks a lot, buddy. You have no clue who I am.
Right.
But you fired me when I was a sophomore from every spot. I got rehired like 2 weeks later.
That's
but
good.
Still,
that's good.
But still, it was bad, right? It's a results-oriented business.
It is.
Guess what? No Illini fan and no coach cared that it was DeSean Jackson.
Mm-mm.
Nobody cared.
Nope.
No, it's like Ron Zook used to tell us. We used to get beat bad. He'd say, we'd bring us in the team room and say, hey, guys, are your feelings hurt?
Yeah.
Does your body hurt? Did your girlfriend break up with you? Did your mom say she doesn't love you anymore? Guess what, guys? Nobody cares.
Nope.
Nobody cares that Illinois got walloped.
Mm-mm.
Nobody cares. In fact, they're looking at the schedule and saying, oh, there's Illinois. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's get that dub.
That's exactly right.
You know, everyone
right.
looks at the schedule like, okay, how many wins can I get out of this, right? Right now, Illinois looked as, another win.
Yeah. I want to ask when we come back.
That was a long, drawn-out DeSean Jackson.
No, but I loved it, man. That's a great story. You need to somehow connect with DeSean Jackson one time and just say, thanks a lot for getting me fired, man.
He got me fired. I didn't realize how good he was at the time. All the scout report says was 5'10", 155, really fast.
And I didn't see him.
Thanks a lot for that. That's all the scout report said.
All right. When we come back, I want to ask you about what do you do as a player? Because you've been in this spot. Right. You have been in this exact same spot.
Right.
So I want to ask you how hard it is to move on from that. Last thing, though, before we get to break, is it obvious to you guys that, you know, when there's a 4 or 5-star guy out there and you hear that, you know, Illinois is getting this guy, he's a 3-star guy, etc. I think the one thing that we don't take, and it's funny that you just said that story, the thing that I don't know that we put enough emphasis on in football is speed. And when I watch Illinois, like that offense, for instance, looked like it was going in slow motion.
Absolutely.
And is it just simply not enough team speed out there? And can you just give me Kyren Cumbie and whoever else you've got out there that's fast, put him on the field and take off running and see what we can get done with it?
You got a good point. Are we talking about this now or after break?
No, we'll talk about this now and then I'll ask you the player.
So when Ron Zook came in, so there was totally different models, right? We had Ron Turner, we had Ron Zook.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the perfect mix is. What Ron Turner had and what Ron Zook had combined. Because Ron Turner had some hard-working leaders.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Maybe not the best athletes, me being one of them. And he comboed that in 2007 with some fresh talent and some speed, right? Now, do I think we kind of went to from 2008 to 2010 to SEC North football? Yes, I think we did, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe we got away from some of the hard working type players that maybe weren't the best athlete.
That's fair.
Because I remember when Zook came in on kickoff, like, you know, it's like, dude, you're not fast enough to play kickoff. You're off. Like,
wow.
You're not good. You're not fast enough.
Yeah.
We've got to upgrade the speed, right? And he's just like, I like fast guys. Like,
amen. Oh.
But at least he told you.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, man, you're trying and stuff like that. You're just not fast enough.
Nope.
And that's how it is. Now, we had the term zooked. Zooked meant this. You weren't good enough early on. You got zooked. Meaning he'd say, listen, you can stay here, but you're never going to play. So I kind of,
wow.
You know, and you know, that's just how it was. He would have a heart-to-heart conversation. His whole number one thing was, I got to rebuild this program as fast as possible.
Yep.
Now, did he burn some bridges with players? Yes. Does people have questions about that? For sure. Did he go to the Rose Bowl? Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, the funniest thing is that Illinois led the Big Ten in first-round draft picks from 07 to 2011.
Incredible.
That is incredible.
That is.
You got him to come to Champaign, Illinois. You got Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State together. We led the league in draft. What is that? We can run. People get on about his game management stuff. Listen, I would rather have the game management stuff and at least have some athletes and be around and
exactly.
Go to two straight bowl games. You know, I'm frustrated like everybody else.
I know.
And I do think team speed is an issue.
Yep.
I think he's gotten some guys that have some serious speed. I feel like Beeson got banged up and whatnot. But it doesn't seem like they're playing at
right.
That speed. Because Lovey's a speed guy, too.
Well, yeah, you would think.
His NFL teams are, you know,
yep.
Real
I agree.
Fast. So he's about speed, and he understands that. So it just looks like they weren't playing very fast.
No, that's very true. All right, Jay Layman's our guest. We are back. This is, of course, every Monday brought to you by Molitor Financial, Freedom Roofing, and Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
They're the best, man. We can go on and on about them. But get your appliances there. Get your roof there and get your mortgage there. Do I got to say anything else?
Interest rates are perfect
Come
right
on.
Now.
Let's go. Low as you can go.
Oh, it's incredible. All right. More football talk with Jay next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lontae and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck. Movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
If you're looking for a car dealership that is 100% attentive to detail, look no further than Sarah Champagne. Sarah Champagne knows you have high expectations, but they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. Sarah Honda, Sarah BMW, Sarah GMC, Sarah Buick, and Sarah Subaru in Savoy, or online, Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Bummed out about no tailgating this football season?
Welcome to Moe's!
Tailgate at home this year with a meal kit from Moe's. Choose from a choice of their nachos kit, tacos kit, or fajitas kit. All kits come with your choice of meats along with beans, pico de gallo, Moe's famous queso, and of course, free chips and salsa on the side. Each kit serves 4 to 6. Visit Moe's.com or call the Champaign Moe's 352-6637. Available for pickup or delivery.
Green Street Realty is excited to share details about some of their newest properties. At 1007 West University, it's The Den. Close to the engineering quad, these all-inclusive units feature high-end finishes. At 309 East Springfield, Icon boasts a great campus location within walking distance to the grocery store and featuring a huge rooftop amenity deck. Check out View at 711 South 4th Street, featuring an on-site fitness center and a prime campus location. And don't miss 200 Vine Street, Urbana's hottest new location close to downtown. For more information on all these great units, visit greenstreetrealty.com.
This fall, our choice for Congress is clear. Lobbyist Betsy Londrigan is a Mike Madigan crony. In Springfield, Londrigan lined her pockets with Madigan's dirty insider deals. Then she took nearly $300,000 of Madigan's dirty money to buy a seat in Congress. Londrigan even took campaign cash from lobbyists under federal investigation for corruption and a rape cover-up. A Madigan machine politician, Betsy Londrigan would make Washington worse. There's a better choice. Our Congressman Rodney Davis is getting results for us. Rodney is taking on the big insurance companies to protect everyone with a pre-existing condition. And he's holding the big drug companies accountable to lower our prescription drug costs. And when the pandemic hit, Rodney secured lifeline loans for small businesses, helping to save over 2 million Illinois jobs. Rodney Davis is on our side.
I'm Rodney Davis. I'm running for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Rodney for Congress.
I'm Mark Sheldon, your County Recorder of Deeds. For 14 years, I also served as your county clerk. At that time, I never supported the merger of the recorder and the clerk. Why was that? Very simply, I actually talked to the experts in this area, such as bankers, title companies, and attorneys. They record $1 billion in property transactions each year, and most don't support a merger. My opponent claims that Cook County, quote, seems to be doing fine. Cook County has a 6 to 8 week delay in recording right now. In Champaign County, you can walk in the office and immediately get a document filed. 2 years ago, county Democrats told voters it didn't matter who the treasurer was. In 2 years, we've seen taxpayers get double billed and homeowners have their refinancing delayed. I want to make the recorder appointed rather than an elected politician so we can ensure professional administration in the future.
Paid for by Citizens for Mark Sheldon.
If you're in the market for a new car battery, you could go to one of those big box stores, except there's no guarantee you'll be served by an actual car expert.
Clean up in aisle three.
You could pick a battery off the shelf, except it might be close to expiring. Or you could just come into Interstate. Don't make a big box store blunder. With competitive prices and a more personal, reliable approach, Interstate Batteries is the clear-cut choice if you want to guarantee yourself a new and trustworthy car battery. They're open and ready to serve you at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign.
Start a new family tradition this Halloween season. Hi, I'm Lindsay Quick with the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, and we invite you to join us for our first ever Scarecrow Hunt. Look for all the creepy, quirky, and creatively decorated scarecrows outside businesses all throughout Champaign County. Pick a day to take the kids on the Scarecrow Hunt and then post the photos of your favorites on social media with the hashtag Champaign County Scarecrows. We'll randomly choose one photo to win a $100 restaurant gift card. For a map of Scarecrow locations, visit champaigncounty.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Lose yourself, mom's spaghetti. There's vomit on his sweater. Palms are ready. Freshman year, Champaign Central High School. This is the hype up song.
Is it?
Year 1999.
There we go.
There's vomit on his sweater. Mom's spaghetti. On the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. That's all I really know.
That looked good, or that sounded good, man.
Hey.
Last week you were rapping, this week you're singing to Eminem.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's like 21 years ago. That's a while.
That's scary, isn't it?
I mean, that's like when Lon Tate was on WAND.
Oh, my goodness. And was skinny and wore makeup. I mean, all of that stuff. Hey, Trevor Valise, are you close to a microphone? Is it okay that if we just go ahead and just blame you for this loss?
That's fine.
Okay. Because I feel like I can't blame Jay because he takes the time to come in and visit with us. And, you know, Derek, you know, I just feel like he and I are so frustrated right now. We got to blame somebody. So we're blaming you.
So what is it about me that makes me the...
I don't know. Maybe the Cubs hat.
Okay.
That's probably what it is. Trevor, real quick, because I know you're doing some stuff in here. I mean, we're all frustrated. I assume you are right there with us.
I'm more depressed than frustrated.
Okay, that's fair.
Because you guys were talking about your memories as a kid or the Rose Bowl. For me, I felt nothing but this.
Ugh.
I mean, I'm 22. 07, I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
I remember it,
see,
but
now,
I don't.
This is a real thing, Trevor. I want to say this is a real thing because we're entering a generation that never remembers Illinois being good.
That's so true.
And here's the thing.
That's so true.
So, Lon, you were talking about, hey, in the 80s, I grew up, and it was awesome. I wish I'd been a little bit older, but, man, I remember. I was like, we're great, right?
Yep.
And that imprinted on you.
It's totally
and
did.
Like, you're an Illini fan for life because of that, right?
That's right.
The problem is these guys that are growing up in Illinois, it's like, man, you know who's really good right now? It's Clemson. My son likes Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
Because he sees Clemson playing all the time, right?
And he's like, I don't care that you played at Illinois, Dad.
I mean, he'll say, oh, yeah, I like Illinois and I like Clemson. I mean,
it's scary.
But, right, but because people like the teams that are good.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's
so it's
exactly
like,
right.
Man, that's, I hope we cannot lose this state to Northwestern.
No.
That's Chicago's Big Ten team, but that ain't Illinois' team. Come on.
All right, Trevor, thank you.
I mean, you already have.
You lost four in a row to him.
Now, Fitzgerald is just, I mean, he owns you.
Here's the deal. They should not have lost that game last year. Wow. Northwestern
was bad last year.
And we go back to that game.
Yeah.
Really, the last two games of the last season. Now, did they lose the last two or last three?
Three, right?
Iowa, Northwestern, and then the bowl game.
So they're on a four-game losing streak. I mean, really, that four-game winning streak that started with Wisconsin last year. I don't know.
I think that's what makes it more difficult,
we've come
too.
Full circle.
Is that we beat Wisconsin last year.
Yes.
And it comes out to the progress thing.
Yeah.
We feel like we're regressing.
Yeah, no doubt.
Doesn't it make you wonder if, say, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't fumble or you don't come back from three touchdowns down against Michigan State?
It's a good point.
All of a sudden, you don't go to a bowl game. All of a sudden, you're feeling a whole lot different about where this program is. Right. And it's almost like a wake-up call. It's like, well, wait. Where we convinced ourselves during the offseason, this is Lovie's best team. This is going to be the year. Maybe even overachieve a little bit in a weird season. And now that kind of wake-up call, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's the power we talked about off air. It's the power of programming. You know, you hear a narrative, you think this. In your mind, you have a way that you think it's going to look. And when it doesn't look that way, there is a kind of business where you're like, you don't know what to do. Like, we're on this hour, me and Lon, you guys were talking about, it just makes us get scatterbrained.
It does.
We don't even know what to say anymore. Our expectations are crushed. And we're just as frustrated as everybody listening right now. I mean, we're so frustrated because we so badly want to see Illinois good.
Oh.
We want to see the players have success.
Yeah.
The guys that work hard. It's hard.
I wake up in the morning and I read my tweets, and I'm a little out of hand on tweets. And by the way, last night I apologized to everybody during that Arizona Cardinals game. I'm going to quit tweeting during games.
And how about Buda Baker getting hawked?
Oh.
Budemaker's a great player, but man.
DK Metcalf.
I mean, it gets him.
How can you be that big and that fast? That's not fair.
He's just a giant, running down people.
Terrell Owens back in the day.
It is unbelievable, that clip, right? It's almost as good as Vontae Davis running down Joe McKnight in the Rose Bowl, which was amazing.
And then I'm not getting on this, but all my life I've been a Cardinals football fan, and you talk about a deep-seated depression that can come with that because I've seen so many bad things happen. And when he ran him down, I looked at Andrew last night, and I'm like, we're not going to score here. And when Cliff Kingsbury didn't kick the field goal, I was so disgusted at him. I was saying words that I probably shouldn't. And I'm like, you have to kick the field goal there because now you've made it a complete victory for Seattle and completely flipped the momentum because DK Metcalf ran you down, ran your best defensive player down, stopped any momentum you have now because you don't even kick a field goal. And I was, that's when Fred Wakefield called.
Not only was it the Cardinals, it was also the Alani. It's been a tough week for Alani, right?
But we won.
Yeah.
But they won. And it's amazing that they won. And yes, it felt good, but I felt embarrassed.
You said in the group text that Wilson is your Rodgers, the comp for the Bears fan. He comes into your division. Building and you know it's not going
to
go well.
Well, here's the crazy about the division. It's like any one of those teams can go to the Super Bowl. Like the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks. I don't know if the Cardinals are there yet. But I'm just saying, like,
I agree.
That's a crazy division.
It's
crazy.
Incredibly good.
Rams are a good beat tonight, though.
Yep. I can't wait. And we're going to talk about that actually, at the end of the hour, I'll let you guys talk a little Bears because, I mean, people want to hear about that.
I wore the Briggs jersey today to let Jay know that I appreciate good linebacker play.
Boom!
Just so that he knows that.
Well, we need some good linebacker play.
All right, Jay Lehman, I want to ask you about how, as a player, because these players understand, they've been looking at each other for 4 or 5 years in that weight room, grinding in that weight room, practicing. They've won a couple of big games last year against Wisconsin. Now they come into this season, they have to be feeling good. And then that happens.
And that is not just a shock to the system, it obliterates the system.
I wondered.
You know, I was listening to a post-game interview for a Rutgers player. There was a DB, I think his name was Avery Young, I think.
Yes.
They were interviewing him, and I don't know if you saw this interview.
I did.
We lost 21 straight Big Ten conference games. I've been in the room for all those. We've worked so hard. And to come to Michigan State and beat Michigan State the way they did, you could just see it on his face.
Oh,
it was like
he didn't start crying.
It was like...
It's emotional.
It was like we've been through so much.
Yep.
Been called, you know, the pillow fighters of the Big Ten and all the comments that, you know, guys like me and everybody else make, right? But you saw a moment there was like, wow, that's what college football is all about.
Very cool.
If Rutgers didn't win another game, which I think they will win some more games, but that was worth it for that kid.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
For that kid, that was like the Rose Bowl for a Rutgers kid.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I agree.
And that's kind of the feeling that Illinois got a taste of, you know, last year. But they're kind of like, man, is all the work we're putting in going to pay off?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big question.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, man, it's just frustrating. I feel like my eggs just got scrambled in my brain. Like,
well, I told
you. Have you ever seen those commercials when we were a kid? Like, this is your brain on drugs.
That's right.
Where like they cracked it, the egg, and fried it and stuff like that.
I told you, I've been doing this for 10 years.
Oh gosh.
You'll become, I mean, I got some issues after 10 years of doing this stuff, but oh well.
Post-traumatic football something.
This is why Derek is here. He keeps us on the right of way.
Yeah, I feel like you're the steady end.
He totally
he
is.
Me a lot. It's just disaster.
It totally is.
Jay, you were one of those leaders in that locker room. How would you approach a Monday after a loss like that?
Good question.
One, I think we gotta own it for what it was. Mm. And I think the players have to own it what it was. Like, listen, I personally don't need anybody to tell me here are the positives as a senior.
Right.
Maybe if I'm a freshman. But I just know the guys, we were garbage. My girlfriend was in the stands. My mom was in the stands. All four people that could go, whatever. But right, like I got embarrassed by grown men in a game that kind of tests your manhood. Like I it's embarrassing.
Amen.
It's bad. So first off, you own it, and the players own it. Like we just said, listen, we're bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad. That's the first step. You own it. Number two is, what do you do other than go back to work?
Yeah.
You know, and just say, okay, we got another shot to do it. I don't want to get beat twice by Wisconsin, because I sure could have after a game like that. The good thing is, by the time I was a senior, I was used to the bad losses. I was like, you know, so I was pretty well skilled at that. So I hold that one pretty good.
He just moved right on.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that you... I mean, is there the over... Like, for me, it would feel like an overwhelming feeling of we have to get so much better in 1 week, right. And can we?
Right. No, I mean, I think that's what Lovey's trying to say. Like, we're not as bad as
we were. And I don't think they are.
I don't think they're as bad as we're... I don't think Wisconsin's as great as... I just don't think Wisconsin looked like world beaters. I think we made them. I think that was one of the weakest rushing attacks I've seen out of Wisconsin in years.
Amen.
In years. Yep. And if you said, listen, they're not going to run the ball that well. We said that before. If we said that before the week, we'd be like, oh, we got a chance to win.
Yeah, exactly. Freshman quarterback.
Yeah, we weren't even in the same ballpark. I mean, we weren't in the same stadium. No. It was like, it felt like a different league out there.
Yeah.
It felt like the old, I'm not even going to say it.
And you know what's funny about me, Derek, is that normally... During an Illini season, Mike Epstein fumbles that ball early, and normally my initial reaction is, oh, boy. You know what? Friday night when he fumbled it, I'm like, okay, look, hold him to a field goal, get the ball back, let's go. Yep. Like, I guess I was still tricking my mind into thinking this team will overcome that. I mean, that was not a good start to it.
Here's the bad thing that runs through our head. And it's the question, you may use different language than I did, but
I actually was pretty good at my language even then.
How is this team going to respond now?
Yes.
That question comes up way too much for an Illinois fan.
So true.
Right?
So true.
It's like, there's the fumble. How's this team going to respond? That's the question that comes into every Illinois way too soon, right? Like, we're never up by, like, two scores. Like, this game started great. Like, when's the last time you can remember there's a game you're looking forward to and Illinois jumps out to a two-score lead? And you're like, oh, my gosh. I'll tell you the last one I remember, 1994 Penn State. We got, like, 21-3.
That's right.
And I was like, it was so shocking to me, right? And then you're like, okay, what's going to happen is bad, right? Like, that, that's from a fan perspective. I'm being facetious and whatnot, but that's really what I...
It's true.
It is, right?
It's true. I mean, I'm dead serious. I wouldn't even have brought it up if I wasn't so serious about it.
Right.
Normally, I would have just been like, oh, there we go.
It's like we're at that point. Like, every fan gets to that point. Like, in the season, we're like, okay, we're already at the point where how are we going to respond?
Right. Second play of the game.
Here's the deal. The difference between Ohio State and Illinois is Ohio State got to that point in the second half against Clemson. How are we going to respond in this national semifinal?
Yes.
They didn't ever get to that point in the regular season.
No.
Right?
No.
We got to that first game of the season, the second play. Guys, that's the difference. Okay, wow. You guys get me going. And then I can't stop.
Oh, I'm the same way. I worry. I know that we've got to let this season play out, but that's sickening. After waiting this long for Illinois football, and then to think that this team could be a team that could really, I mean, even four wins, and maybe they still do it. Maybe they still do it. But the way they played Friday, I sat there. I'm like, is this working?
It doesn't. Doesn't inspire any hope for you.
None.
You don't look forward to the next game.
No, no.
It's just. It just makes your blood boil. At the same time, it just makes you just apathetic. It's the scatterbrain stuff.
It really is.
Gosh.
Derek, this is my line. I'm going to shut up. Then I want you guys to talk. Whatever. Bears. Whatever. I even got to the point, and this is so pathetic. as a guy that has basically known sports for 40 years, about 50 years, I got to the point where, like, Paul Christ on the sideline, when he saw Virtus Brown, I think, had gone upfield on a play, Paul Christ runs. Now, granted, he looks like me running, but he runs 10 yards to the official, says something to him. Now, the official saw it, so it's not like he changed the... And then on the other side, there'd be, like, the spot. That's one of the worst spots I've ever seen. Man, that heads lineman, that guy had the worst game I've ever seen in my life.
We're not even talking about it. There were two or three really bad spots that went against Illinois.
Yes.
On offense and defense.
There is no doubt. It was terrible.
Terrible spots.
And
how many were challenged?
Well, and then this makes me sound so pathetic. But then they show the sideline, and there's Lovie just standing there. And I'm sitting in a garage, basically, yelling at the top of my lungs at the TV. And then I see Lovie just, and I know he can't be going ballistic. Show me something. Give me some kind of emotion. Because as an Illini fan, I've got that emotion. Do you? Or are you just here? I don't know. I don't want to get in it. I don't want to do it yet. I'll save that speech for later this year.
No, I understand. I think a lot of people are going there.
To the edge.
You got me right to the edge right there.
It's one game, I know that.
Right, and that's where I have to...
It's really, really alarming. It makes you think how much do you need to see this year to really make you feel good about going... I know it's a different time. It doesn't even count on the eligibility calendar.
Mean, here's a question. How many fans would actually be in the stadium if there could be fans in the stadium next week? Do we even want to go down that route?
No.
I don't know.
I don't either after that.
There might be more Purdue fans.
Yeah.
Coming over.
Yeah.
Stopping at the Beef House, celebrating, and they're going to win. I mean, like, this is, like, we just want to be, I think Illinois fans just really want to be competitive, and they want to see that fire.
That's all I want, Jay.
They want to be entertained for more than 10 minutes of watching a game. Like, if we watched the game, and it was 2.5 hours, at least they pulled away in the fourth quarter, I think we'd be like, okay, we didn't have the
horses. Right. That's exactly right.
Like, even Nebraska, like, they stuck with him for a half.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
They're getting better, right? And it just, when you have Rutgers, Purdue, and Indiana, and Northwestern, let's just say those are our equivalents. I'm not even throwing Minnesota in there. I mean, they had a tough game against a good opponent against Michigan. You're just kind of like, where are we?
Yeah. Tom Allen, what, 7 wins last year? Eight wins last year, beats Iowa.
And he got beat twice late in the game,
good call.
Bowl game, and also against another opponent, Michigan State.
Yeah.
He beats the top 10 program.
PJ Fleck, 10 wins last year.
10 wins last year.
We're still sitting here without a 500 season.
And I would argue Purdue was in worse shape when Brom took them over in Illinois. After Daryl Hazel, they were at the bottom.
Yep.
They were at one of the worst Big Ten teams I've seen.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, then you got to go to the Bears, Derek. You got to get me off this. As an Illini football fan, the one thing that I have finally come to the point where I'm like, okay, look, I'm going to enjoy tailgating. I love spending the day with my son. I want to see a competitive team. You're right. I want to see a competitive team. But I'm even to the point now where I understand about every 7 to 10 years, Illinois is going to have one of those fantastic seasons. And I can't wait for it to come. Right. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it. I kind of thought this year might be the year where we maybe have that spectacular. Maybe we surprise the world like Fleck in Minnesota did last year. And then you come out in the first game and lose 45-7. And I am immediately, like Trevor said, is depressed. I was just ticked off. I was ticked off.
Right.
And I still am.
I can tell. but I think that's what we couldn't expect. Is listen, if you go to a bowl, let's say you win 6 or 7 games, literally 5 or 6 years, and you have one good year, the Kirk Ferentz formula.
Yes.
Literally. That's what he's done.
Yep.
To his credit. A great football coach.
Unbelievable.
Right? But they've gone to like 5 or 6 BCS, whatever you want to call them, Orange Bowls, the New Year's Six games, whatever. You know, Illinois, like it was kind of like, okay, well, 2001, we had our Sugar Bowl, then we had the Rose Bowl, and we're going to go back. Hey, let's go to the Dasani.com Bowl sometime soon.
And do you know how excited I was last year to go to a bowl game?
You were jacked.
I could not wait for that day to get here to tailgate and have some fun and watch. I even tricked myself into thinking it was the Rose Bowl because it was Illinois and Cal on the West Coast. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just assume we're going against Rick Neuheisel and UCLA back in 84. But It is what it is.
Okay, the Bears.
Quick thoughts on the Bears. Chance to have, get this, the best record in the NFC with a win tonight. Doesn't feel like deserved or real.
It doesn't feel deserved. I'm not going to get into, like, you know, how they could have Deshaun Watson or Mahomes. I'm not going to get into that. All I'm going to say is this. They find ways to win.
Yes.
And, you know, we've been begging Illinois to be competitive.
Yep.
The Bears are always competitive this year. They're always, like, right there.
Yep.
And so they might not score a ton, but it's at least, like, there's at least suspense in the game, right? And I expect the same thing tonight. And it doesn't look pretty. They might cobble together a sack fumble, and that keeps them in the game. And, you know, whatever. Like, that's just what they do, right?
So true.
And, like, you're going to see Foles hit, like, a 22-yard pass. Like, oh, my gosh. Right? That's what it's going to be, right? I mean, like, he hit one the other day when we were playing someone with Panthers. I was playing someone. I was like, oh, that was a – oh.
Here we go.
This is it.
Here we go.
Right? Give it to Montgomery for 2 yards. All right. There we go. Like, I just can't. I mean, but at least they're competitive.
It's such ugly football, but it's what we do.
And you're winning.
But you know what?
And you're winning.
Your speed coming, they can really run on defense. The Bears, the Bears can run.
Sideline to sideline.
They really can run. Like, you watch them, they at every position, they can run.
Let's shout out Freedom Roofing.
Freedom Roofing, Molitor Financial. Hit them up at champagnelender.com. Boy, that is an easy website.
That is.
Champagnelender. They paid big bucks for that. They paid big bucks to be on here.
So exactly.
Listen, guys, let's get them some business, all right? And also Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. You know, you can go to Lowe's. You can go to Home Depot. Your service agreement will last for 1 year. How about the 5 to 10 year protection?
Amen.
Because stuff's going to break. It's a mechanical system, right?
Amen.
Stuff breaks, right? So what I got to have it fixed. That's why I love the 5 to 10 year protection plan with Dick Van Dyke.
That's crazy. 10 year protection plan.
Come on, man.
That is crazy.
Service.
All right, Jay Lehman. And this
man flew by today in a bad way.
That runs out.
Right. I'll be nearing retirement when my Dick Van Dyke appliance. When that wears out. That was mean of you. Dang it! Man. I'm old, Jay. All right, buddy. I was not expecting us to come in on this Monday and have this kind of a discussion.
Hey, we had a good time. We didn't have enough ads in there, but we'll make up for it back.
We will. I promise. Hey, we'll see you next Monday.
All right. See you, folks.
All right, buddy. That is Jay Lehman. That was great stuff. When we come back, we're going to hear from Lovie Smith. I swear to you, it says 1 minute 18 seconds, Lovie on positives from the game. I swear to you, that's what it says. Bryce Hopkins commits tonight. I got to get Derek's take on that. Everybody in the world's wondering that. We'll do it all next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.